The book of Proverbs chapter 1. This morning we will continue as we endeavor to go verse by verse through this book, doing it every other Sunday and only for 25-30 minutes. It seems like it's going to take a while to get through it. We're in verse 5 and 6 this morning. And I'm not complaining when I say that. I'm thankful that we do have opportunity to study God's Word, speaking with some of you that give devotions, Brother Dustin and Brother Clint and others. It's, you know, when you got a little bit of time, sometimes it seems like it's about the time you get started, you have to quit. And I'm thankful for opportunity, but sometimes I wish Sunday school would take an hour instead of 30 minutes. It would help sometimes. But here we are, Proverbs 1, 5 and 6 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Here we see that Solomon says that not only will a wise man hear. Now, how many of us would have to testify? A lot of times we hear, but that's the extent of it. We'll hear something as far as speaking about the word being preached or taught. He says, not only will they hear, but they will also what? Increase or attain in knowledge. But he says, not only that, but they will also attain unto wise counsel. And by doing so, he says, that a wise man will gain the capacity to properly understand a proverb. Any of y'all ever read the Proverbs? I've been reading the Proverbs now for probably maybe 17 years. I've been reading through the book of Proverbs. I don't read it systematically. From time to time, I'll go through and I'll read the proverb for the day that we're on. And I've done that. I've done that for that period of time. Not consistently. I mean, there's times when I don't read it. I may not read Proverbs for a month. Now that I'm studying it, I have to read it. But as I've read through the book of Proverbs, and as I've looked at the book of Proverbs, there's been times that I have to confess that some of these things are hard for me to understand. Just the way that they fit together. It's not like reading an epistle. And we got to be careful when we study. But what he's saying here is, if we have wisdom, if we hear and we increase in knowledge, we will be able to get to the place where we can properly, and that's the key. I was sharing with someone, Friday morning, about the Word of God and how that this person's lost, but has been going to church and has been reading some outside information. And I said, you have to be extremely careful what you read. Even if it seems to be good. Because the thing is it has to be accurate. And that's the thing about studying the book of Proverbs and looking at it. We can all come up with some kind of explanation if we wanted to, right? Say, what does that mean? Well, I think it means this. Or I think it means that. And what we need is wisdom, just like you taught about. We need to ask God, where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. It comes from His Word. It is a gift of grace, I believe. And what we need is we need God's wisdom granted unto us so that we can properly understand what's being said. Because the reason that we need that is this. These Proverbs will be beneficial to us. Extremely beneficial. If we properly understand them. If we misinterpret them, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to be profitable to us. They can actually do us harm or hurt. And that goes with all Scripture, not necessarily just the book of Proverbs. How important is it for us to understand God's Word in context? And I know we stress that. Because as I was sharing, as with several people I've been sharing with this week, and I've been stressing, these are people that are seeking for answers, seeking for truth. I've been stressing that it's vitally important that we study these things in context. Because if we don't, One dude can say, well, you know, it means this to me and it means this to me. And what happens is everybody's confused. And nobody has the right answer. But we can understand where we get this wisdom from. It comes from God. Remember, a proverb's usually a short, pointed saying that involves everyday truths which generally have a spiritual application. A proverb can be compared to what? A parable, right? Y'all know what a parable is? The word is parabole. It means, bale is to throw. And a parable is to something that you cast down beside something. You got me? You cast two truths that are similar beside each other, an earthly, but it also has a spiritual meaning at the same sense. And we see that a proverb similar to that, not exactly the same, but it's similar. And we see that the New Testament, oftentimes we see parables in the New Testament, which were to teach those who are wise, right? When Christ taught in parables, we see that in the Scriptures, we see that those that were wise gained from that. But what also happened? At the same time, those same parables that fed the people that had the Spirit of God or the wisdom of God, what happened to those that didn't? They were confounded, right? Those who were void of understanding couldn't see the truth in it. And they went the other direction. And that's why it's so vitally important when we study the book of Proverbs that we get it right. Because if not, it's not going to help us. It's going to do what? It's going to hurt us. Some of the Proverbs we find in the Bible or in the book of Proverbs may be difficult for us to understand, even for us who are saved. And usually, you know the reason why? It's because a lot of times when we look at these things are given, and we have to understand they've been given to follow suit or to teach those that actually knew the culture, because it's everyday things that was going on. We can look at Christ saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come back. And when I do, and we were looking at that, I can't remember where we were sharing that. I can't even remember now who I was talking to about it was during our question and answer service about Michael or what have you, and how that with David not being able to marry Saul's oldest daughter, and we went into that custom of how that a Jewish woman was bought with a price. Man would come and give her father a price, a dowry, and that's how we got into this while we were in our question and answer service, and how a dowry would be, or a price would be given, and then he would go back where? To his father's house. To do what? Prepare a place. That was their custom. That's how they did it. And when his father saw that this place was fit for his son to go get his bride, you know what he'd tell him to do? Go get his bride. You know what that bride had to do? Now see, this all ties in when we understand Jewish custom. That bride had to be ready every single day. Why? She didn't know when he was coming back. When the bridegroom was coming, she had no idea. So you know what she did? Her family would set out watchmen on the way. Path coming into the city, they would have watchmen set out. And you know what would happen when that first sighting of that groom, that bridegroom was coming? What would they do? They would sound a trump. And what would that do? Hear he is. She had to be, now she may have been almost ready. She heard that trump. What do you think she would do? So you see how understanding Jewish custom and those things that it would do us, it would benefit us well. I mean, because we look, now that's just one little thing out of the New Testament, but we go through the Old Testament, and if we don't know how things took place, then that sometimes would explain why it's difficult for us to understand. Why? Because he's writing about everyday things. He's writing about plowing fields and the wicked and those. So we have to be able to understand some of those things. And as we learn through prayer and through the study of God's Word, as we learn these things, you know what we'll do? We'll gain great insight. Why? Because it'll help us not just in the book of Proverbs, but it'll help us as we study the rest of the Bible. As we learn these things, then it'll you know what it'll do? It'll actually increase our wisdom and our knowledge. Here we see King Solomon explaining that it's only by wisdom and the increase of an increase of learning that we will be able to understand a proverb. Notice that he says that we will be able to understand a proverb and the interpretation. We got to understand that this word interpretation means, if you look this word up, it means a mocking poem or satire. Now, it doesn't mean what we think it means. That's why it's important for us to look up words from time to time, because when we usually see an English word that we're familiar with, how many of y'all would testify of this? We see it, we automatically say, I know what that word means. Why? Because we're familiar with it. Any of y'all ever listen to somebody that is intellectual, highly intelligent, as far as like teaching or preaching, or even it may even be something not that, and they use words that you've never heard before. And you heard a word and you say, you might jot it down, or if you're reading and you see a word and you don't know what it is, you look that word up. Why? Because you're not familiar with it. So you automatically say, I need to find out what he's actually talking about here, because I'm not familiar with this word. But it goes opposite when we see words that we are familiar with. We just automatically assume we know what it's talking about, and we got to be careful to look it out. We must realize that these proverbs are given to expose and to ridicule the folly and ignorance of those who are void of understanding. We're going to see that as we go through the book of Proverbs. And I could list proverb after proverb after proverb. Guy worked with me for a while. He got on a kick where he was calling people a fool. And there was a couple times he called me a fool and I got offended. I mean, I'm serious. I got offended. Really offended. Now, I didn't want to beat him up. Well, I might have wanted to beat him up, but I didn't beat him up. But you know why I got offended? Because I've been reading the book of Proverbs long enough to where I don't want to be called. I mean, you can call me a fatty, you can call me lazy, you can call me this, but don't call me a fool, because the book of Proverbs puts a fool down bad. Now, I might act foolish from time to time, but I don't want you calling me a fool, because I know what a fool is according to the Scriptures. Solomon goes on to say that not only will a wise man understand a proverb and its interpretation, but he will also understand the words of the wise and their dark saying. Notice Solomon says to understand the words of the wise. Now, we got to be careful, and I know we know these things. I'm not saying this to beat a drum that we've already heard, but I think we have to stop and understand that when he's saying this, he's not meaning worldly wisdom. There's a tendency for us to want to grab hold of worldly wisdom. You know, I can honestly say that I personally know some people that are educated beyond their intelligence. Any of y'all know people like that? I mean, as far as book smarts, even worldly wisdom. I mean, there's some wise people. I mean, we just went through an election deal where we seen all kind of worldly wisdom coming out. There was some tricks trying to be played that's pretty sharp if you think about it, in a worldly sense. How that people were manipulated here, there, and how the whole system is in one bag for one person. And I'm not trying to get political, but man, if you stop and think about the scheme of things, there's a lot of wisdom in that as far as trying, but it's all worldly wisdom. Wisdom that is no good. Wisdom that profiteth none. Now here it may, but to come it won't. I said I know some people that are educated beyond their intelligence, but at the same time, I also know some people that literally cannot read or write, that are extremely streetwise. Now you say, what do you mean by streetwise? They know how to ball rolls. If you know what I'm saying. They may not be smart enough to go and debate somebody, would make them look like a fool, but they know a lot and they have a lot more common sense than most people that are highly educated. But we got to understand that this worldly wisdom, I'm just showing some carnal illustrations here, but this worldly wisdom, whether it be innate, whether it come natural to you, or whether it be taught to you through school or education, it is non-beneficial when it comes to spiritual things. Now, I'm not trying to put down on learning at all. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Now, I know in our society, we have elevated knowledge up here. It's high. If you don't have a degree, you know what? People don't think you're worth anything. Doesn't matter whether you've learned at the highest schools in the nation or if you went through the school of hard knocks. Worldly wisdom, really, technically, is only beneficial here while you on this earth. You know, there's many brilliant people who have incredible minds. I'm talking about smart folk that are highly esteemed in our society and throughout the known world, but they are totally ignorant when it comes to biblical truth. There's people that teach in seminaries, Bible scholars, and Bible colleges that know this book inside and out as far as in an intellectual way. But as far as knowing biblical truth and being able to apply it, turn to 1 Corinthians right quick. I know we know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we're looking at gaining wisdom, right? And we're just trying to look at the difference. Starting in verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not what? The wisdom of this world. Nor the princes of this world that what? Come to naught. What's going to happen to the wisdom of this world? What's going to happen to the princes of this world? They're going to cease to be, right? They're going to give it up one day. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. You know what God is you know what God is about doing? Teaching his people. Aren't y'all glad God's constantly teaching us new things? That he doesn't just say, okay, I'm going to save you, but I'm going to leave you ignorant of biblical truth, and I'm just going to let you go. No, you know what God's doing on a regular basis? I don't know about in y'all's life, but in my life, I'm constantly being challenged by the Word of God, and I'm constantly learning new things. I'm glad that I haven't become bored when it comes to the Word of God, but God's revealing new. Where does that revelation come from? Now, when I say revelation, be careful. We don't want to misinterpret that. That illumination come from as far as God revealing or illuminating scriptures as we study. How many of y'all study your Bible and you say, just like Brother Dustin said, I've never seen that before. And then all of a sudden, you can read the same passage. And as you dig and as you study, let me go on. He says, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now, when we think about a prince, what do we think about? Somebody that's high end, right? Somebody that knows how to operate, function, orchestrate, govern what? A nation, right? That's what I think about when I think about a prince. Somebody that can think about our president. You know what we need to be praying for our president? The one that's in and the one that's coming? For wisdom. Not worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom. God, surround him by men that have wisdom and can give him wise counsel. Because the thing is, he may be able to build buildings. He may be able to make money. He may be able to do this, that. Or he may be able to trade and manipulate and do this, that, or the other. But the thing is we need somebody that can enact and somebody that can apply the wisdom only found through the scriptures. And you know what? We need God to be able to do that because that's the only place it comes from. He says, which none of these princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not what? Crucified the Lord of glory. The leaders in Israel. In Acts, when Peter's preaching, what does he do? He charges them with what? Crucifying the Lord. Had they known, had they been able to see who Christ really was, Do you think they would have crucified him? Now, we understand that all these things were preordained, right? Let's not bog down on it. He says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto who?
Us.
Who's the us here? Saved folk. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have what? Received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. Look at this right here. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, we got to be careful when we read passages like this. And when we see truth, like we said a while ago, when we're studying, and all of a sudden we see truth, that God allows us to see it by faith, and we understand it as truth, and we have gained insight on things. We got to be careful not to boast in the fact that, look what I know and you don't know. Whether it be against somebody outside the church or even somebody in the church. Because when we come here and gather here, you know what we are to do here? We are to glorify the Lord. We are to use what God has equipped us with, that he's given us, that he's blessed us with. Right? Where does these blessings come from? They come from him. We can't get up here and say, you know, it's because I studied harder than y'all this week is why I know these things. That's not the case. It's not the case. Because if we were not saved and we didn't have the Spirit of God, we would only be able to understand the things of man. Why? Because only a man can know the things of man. And the thing is we would come here with our interpretation of what things were. And what we would do is we would try and boast on what we knew. And it would become easily evident that we weren't understanding the things of God according to the Spirit of God. He says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You ever talk to somebody and try and share with them? And they're so blinded that it makes you feel like you're a fool for telling them the things that you've told them. Like, I'm foolish. These people, there's such a wall put up, and it's not them. A lot of times we think it's them. It's not them. They've been blinded, is what the Scripture says, by the God of this world. And the thing is only God can remove that veil that they can actually see these things. They can't see these things. He said, the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Listen what he says here. But we have what? What's he talking about? We have the mind of Christ. Now, I don't want to set y'all up. You don't have to answer out loud. I didn't really study this thing out. I'm not speculating. But you know what we have right here? The Word of God. To say we know the mind of Christ is to know what? He is the Word in flesh. So for us to know what God's will is for our life, for this world, for this country, for this nation, you know where we have to go to find that? We know that. We have to go to the Word. There's no other place. And we have, Brother Dustin read it this morning, All things have been given, according to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to what? To godliness. In other words, we have everything that we may be partakers of that divine nature by what? By the precious promises that are in the Word of God. God has given us everything that we need to know right here. We don't need to go anywhere else. The wisdom that we need is found in the Word of God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That does not mean we can't use a dictionary. It does not mean we are so spiritual that we don't need a concordance, because I've heard of people saying that before, that we don't need commentary. You know, there's some tried and true, trusted men that their lives have been put on display, that God has used them. Their testimony is credible. Their works are credible. It lines up with the Scripture, and we can utilize those things to help us. Why? Because those men were gifted. They were put in a time and a place set apart to do what? Study, to write. Not all of us can do that. Let me ask you this. How many of y'all spend 30 hours a week studying your Bible? How many of us, now before we say I can't, we got to understand that we probably could if we truly wanted to. But have we been called? You know, not everybody's called to be a theologian. Not everybody's called to be a student that diligently, day in, a scribe or whatever you want to call them. We can't all participate in that. If we all did, if every one of us spent all week doing nothing but studying the Scriptures, what would happen to this place? They'd cut our lights off, right? You know, when they built the temple, not everybody had the same job. Everybody had different callings, vocations. And the thing is if all we did was showed up to show all the knowledge that we've gained, before long they'd shut us down because we wouldn't have any money, because nobody would go to work. Unless we were good theologians and we started publishing books, right? Then maybe we can make it. But I doubt that would be the case. Don't ask me how I got off on that. We're running out of time too. Notice what he says back in our text. I got to get back to our lesson. He says, to understand the proverb in verse 6, Proverbs 1:6, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Let me ask you this question. What do you think this word dark saying is referring to? Now, at first glance, who would say that this word seems to be signifying something that would be evil or contrary to the truth? Would some of y'all think that when we see the word dark saying? Some of y'all saying, yeah. I would think the same thing when I first read it. But that's not the case. This word speaks of a riddle or a difficult or a perplexing question or statement. In other words, it's usually an obscure statement that is intended, again, listen to this, to confound the ignorant, but at the same time, it's designed to challenge the wise. Remember Samson, he had a riddle, did he not? In Judges 14, I'm not going to tell the whole story. We don't have time. We're running out of time. But back in that day, it must have been something for them to do that. In other words, now we got to understand, what was motivating Samson? Y'all help me out. Before we get off lesson, Samson wasn't that great of a character. I know we esteem him high, but he had some major character flaws. He was driven by pride, strength. He went in the Philistine country, he saw something. What did he see? Y'all remember? A woman. What did he want? He wanted her to wife, right? To be his wife. So he goes back to his mother and his father. They prefer he get a what? A wife, an Israelite. He wanted them. But you know who was behind the scenes working all that out? The Scripture said they didn't know. His mom and daddy didn't know that it was God that was using this as an occasion to get back at who? The Philistines. Is God able to do that? Yeah, people get aggravated. They get irritated when you make a statement like that. But I don't. The Scriptures is the one that says those things, not me. And the thing is he goes, he's on his way over there. Y'all remember the case? He saw the lion. What did he do? He killed it. So he gets there. They're having this feast for 7 days. He lays out a riddle. We understand that he, more than likely, he did that. Why? For self-gain. To show off that he was a wise man. It ended up backfiring on him. You know, this word dark saying here carries with it the idea, listen, of tying knots. And y'all ever take a rope and tie knots in it? And this is done, now think about it. This tying knots is done by twisting truth together. Not twisting truth and perverting it, but twisting it together in a way that would cause one to systematically unravel these sayings truth by truth in order to properly understand their true meaning. So when we see some of these proverbs, we can picture it as like this, a knotted saying of truths that are tied together, and what we have to do, what's our responsibility? To unravel it. How? Truth by truth. And you know, by doing so, you know what we're going to do? We're going to learn those things. It's intentional. The book of Proverbs is intentional. It is intentionally written to make us unravel the hidden truths that are in there so that what? Systematically, by doing so, we can cling to these things, and these things tend to stick and stick in our mind. Any of y'all do crossword puzzles or anything like that? Some of y'all, none of y'all? I know old people do that kind of stuff. And there's some people that are sharp, and it keeps your mind sharp. And as we look at this, we got to understand that to a fool, this type of stuff is what? It's folly. He doesn't want to sit there and have to try and unravel all this stuff. He's like, I don't want anything to do with that. Why? He's not looking for learning anyway. But to those who are seeking understanding, these are hidden treasures that are not only just precious, but to someone who is wise and who is seeking understanding, these things are worth every effort. Any of y'all ever get in a book and it's hard and it's challenging and you're going through a book and you're studying and you have a preconceived notion of what it means and you say, I'm going to teach this because I know this. And all of a sudden you really start studying it and you realize you didn't really know what it meant. And now you in a bind because you don't know which way to go. Why? Because these truths are not, they're contrary to what you thought they were. And what happens, you have to really start digging and untying all these things. And when you do, you see how it all fits together. And you know what happens? When you unravel it and you untie it, you realize that everything's straight and line and perfect. And the truth is all the truth. And what happens, it builds us. And we see as we study through this book, that's how a lot of the Proverbs are written. I got to quit. We're out of time. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. And we ask you to help us. In Christ's name, amen.